have an appreciation for those words, Jan, that you said about the joy of the Lord, and it's bubbling over because it is. Thank you, praise team, and thank you, Jan and Ben, for leading us in worship. On yesterday, I called Pastor Shabu Chirian to come and fill the pulpit tonight. Reverend Chirian is gifted of the Lord and very skilled, and he has his PhD and Doctor of Ministry degree and has studied and showed himself approved on the Lord. And those degrees are to equip him. He's certainly a servant of the Lord. I got to know Brother Shabu Chirian a little bit better a few years ago, 2006. We traveled to multiple cities in India where he's from. And I'm an Indian of that descent, India, but I was not born in India. I was born in Trinidad. My ancestors are from India. But we connected, and we traveled with another pastor to numerous places where we ministered in 2006. I knew him before that time, but got to know him even better on our trip in India. Of course, he came to visit us on December, last month, when I introduced to you his book entitled United in the Word, which is a daily devotional, 365 days of devotions, each day representing scriptures that one have read. It's a devotional written with reading the Bible through in a year. And many of you purchased that book as a tool for your study and your private personal devotions for this year. And I have been feasting off of that, actually, since last year. This one of the best, if not the best, daily devotionals I've ever had in reading the Bible and then reading a scripture from that day's reading as it relates to life lessons. And I was almost tempted to just not call him and just take one of his devotionals and come preach it and act like it's mine. But I really felt led for him to come and to minister to us. He is truly a servant of the Lord. He's full-time in ministry, and only when standing there a while ago, he serves on staff at a church there in Lawrenceville, and only when I was standing there realizing, you know, I didn't even ask him if he had to miss his church tonight to come preach in our church. But I figures he owes me one, so I'll just collect now. Would you give a welcome to Pastor Shabu Chirian as he comes? Bless him in the name of the Lord. Receive him as he brings the word.
It's indeed a privilege for me to be here in this pulpit of a great man of God. I don't say this lightly, but I am a big fan of your pastor. I hope you are all too. I have come across many servants of God in my life, but Pastor Alan Mathura holds a special place for me. And when he asked me anything, and I've told that literally on the phone many times, if it's possible, I'm going to do it for him. The reason, because he is truly a servant of God who loves the Lord, and I know that God is using him greatly in this church and many other places. So when he called me yesterday, the verse that came to my mind was, this is how Christ is going to come without any warning. I mean, he won't give you any advance notice. Okay, come up, I'm ready. So, you know, we need to be ready in season and out of season. Anytime you get the call, you need to come and be ready to share what God has for you. This evening, I truly can say that God has a word for some of you. I have prayed about it. I am confident of the one fact that tonight, whatever I'm going to share with you from God's word is going to be a little deeper into the word of God. But this is something that many people struggle with. And I wanted to set things correctly from God's word, discerning from the word of God. So you will come across a few passages that I'm going to share, and I'm also going to share a little bit of my life's experiences to illustrate the point that I'm going to make. So if you would like to take notes, please take down the verses. Take it down with you. Go back home. Make sure that it is in the Bible and it is not something that I'm creating. I'm a student of the Word, and I'm very much all the time I believe the word is final. If there is something in the word, it means it's true. It means that we need to follow it. It means that this is the word of God and this is the plan of God. So tonight, the topic that I have and I want to share with you for our brief Bible study is why troubles invade our lives. Why troubles invade our lives. And for this, I want you to turn to the book of James, the epistle of James chapter 1 and verse number 2. And I will come to the background and what I'm trying to speak to you tonight. But the verse that I want to use as a key reference is James chapter 1 verse 2, where James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Many times we think that people fall into trouble when they sin, or maybe they are not matured enough, or we have a lot of different reasonings why trouble comes, especially in the life of a child of God. When we know that we are the children of God, nothing should come that is contrary to our walk with God, and we are walking behind Jesus. Why should trouble come in our lives? But tonight, I want to share from God's word and strengthen your faith that you will be able to understand why sometimes trouble come. There is a purpose. Now, let me go to a brief background about the book of James. You know, I don't know how many of you knew it. I didn't know it before. But the book of James is the first book to be written in the New Testament church. The first book was the book of James that was written. And the writer, you know, James, the person by the name of James, if you read the New Testament, there were at least about four or five people who were have the name of James. But the author of the book of James, the writer is believed to be the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Bible scholars are in agreement that the one who wrote this epistle, he is a half-brother, which means after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had children, sons and daughters. And the first son that was born after Jesus was James, who grew up in the home of Joseph and Mary. Now, you just think about growing up in a home of somebody, an elder brother who is infallible, who doesn't make any mistakes, who does all the things correctly. I mean, this person, he had some serious doubts and issue about Jesus. And the Bible, if you understand what happened in the life of James, he did not trust and believe that Jesus was the Messiah. In fact, he joined with the brothers and others in telling Jesus, "Don't say that you are the Messiah," because he was not somebody who would believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And the Bible scholars say that actually James came to believe in Jesus after the resurrection, not before. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, where Apostle Paul speaks that after Christ rose up from the dead, it says 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, or I think it is maybe 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. I'm sorry. It says that after Jesus was risen from the dead, he appeared to James and to the brethren. So after Jesus appeared to him, the Bible scholars say that he started believing about the Messiah, that Jesus was a Messiah. And then he went on to become one of the leaders of the church of Jerusalem. If you turn to Acts chapter 15, we know that there was a Jerusalem council where there was a problem in the church. And James, being one of the elders of the church, he spoke up about a solution for that problem. So, you know, James has come up the ranks very quickly, but then he became very matured. And then we also know that James was killed very early. He was slain in AD 62. So this man, James, wrote the first epistle to be written in the book, in the entire New Testament era. And when he writes this book, we turn to the book of James here, and we see that he is writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. You know, what does it mean, the 12 tribes scattered abroad? You know that the Jerusalem church, after the day of Pentecost, they refused to go out in commandment, in obedience to the commandment in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where Jesus said, "And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." They did not go out of Jerusalem. They were all huddled in the city of Jerusalem, and it says in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1, that there was a great persecution that happened against the church. And when the persecution happened, it says that the church was scattered all across the places. So, when James started writing his epistle, he's writing to the people who have been scattered all across. He's writing to the 12 tribes, the people belonging to the 12 tribes who are scattered all across the places. And they were facing persecution from the Roman Emperor Claudius. Claudius was after the Christians. He wanted to kill them. And they were facing the persecution. In fact, when you understand those believers who were scattered, they were facing persecution from two kinds of people. You know, they were persecuted by the Gentiles who were not happy with them because they were Jews. And then they were facing persecution from the Jews who were not happy because they were Christians. So from all directions, the Christian believers who came to faith from Judaism, they were facing persecution everywhere. So James takes his pen and starts writing to the 12 tribes, the brethren, who are scattered all across the places. And believe it or not, the first thing that comes in his mind is, I should give an answer to why troubles come in your life. And he starts writing that, the book of James. You know, the book of James, the theme of this book is that genuine faith should produce genuine works. If we say we believe, we need to do what we believe. We cannot just say, I believe, because the devil also believes and he trembles. Amen? But when we say that we believe something, that should show in our works. You know that the verse in James chapter 2 and verse 14 is the key of this book of James. It says that, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? You know, this is the theme of the book of faith. It says that if you believe, it should show out in your works. It should show out in your day-to-day life. It should show out in what you do when troubles come in your life. You should be able to really stand strong and let your faith play out in your life. So this is what it is. So the key issue that James starts writing is troubles. Now, I'm sure that all of you sitting here, we all face trouble one time or the other. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a problem that you lose a job. Maybe it's some other kind of trouble that you have. But tonight I want to explain a reason from the book of James why you are facing this kind of troubles. You know, in Job chapter 14 and verse 1, Job says, man is short-lived and full of trouble. His life is full of trouble. From the time you are born to the time you die, when you leave, your life is full of trouble. In Psalms 34 and verse number 19, the psalmist writes like this, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Amen? So many are the afflictions of who? The righteous people, not the wicked. Many are the afflictions, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You know, Jesus, before he died, if you turn to John 16 and verse 33, Jesus makes a promise. You know what? He says, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. Do not think otherwise. You will have trouble. But then he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen? When you have trouble, Jesus says you will have trouble. There is no ifs and buts about it. Let's all always let us come with an understanding that we are going to face trouble. If you are, so far you have not faced, believe me, tomorrow some troubles are coming your way. So we will have troubles. But Jesus says, when you are in trouble, don't be dejected and sad, and don't come to church service anymore. Don't pray. Don't read the Bible. You know, don't do like that. What Jesus said, be happy. Amen. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Amen. So believe me, this is what James is referring to. If you understand the life of Paul, Apostle Paul has been a great source of inspiration for me. And when you understand the life of Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Paul writes about his troubles, his afflictions. He says, you know, we are afflicted in every way. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are struck down. You know, every moment Paul was speaking about the trouble that he was facing. And somebody has said about Paul like this. You know, if you can trace Paul's journey in the first century, it would be like tracking the path of a wounded deer who is running away from the hunter. And when you go behind him, he is leaving a bloody trail everywhere that he's going. This was how Paul was. He was running from city to city, from town to town, being put down in a basket, going through the shipwreck. You know, he was facing troubles, and we see a list of troubles in Paul's life. So what I wanted to convey through this is that, you know, there are troubles that we are going to face. There are troubles that will come into our life. But at that time, don't be perplexed. You know, in my life, I had a trouble-free life. In fact, I grew up in North India. I studied and did a master's in biochemistry. I took a master's in biochemistry thinking that I'm going to go into the subject of science. I was interested because I was a good student, you know. But after the master's level, I said, no, this is not for me. Let me go, because I like dealing with people. So I changed and I studied MBA in a city called Lucknow. Right after MBA, I was ready to work and everything. And at that time, you know, the most important thing that happens for somebody who is growing, you know, it's getting married, right? Yeah, when you have a job in our times, when a boy reaches like 25, 26, he's ready for marriage. So my sister, she looked for a girl for me. And finally, she found a girl who was in the same hospital that she was working. I mean, they were nurses. And so she found this girl, very, very attractive, very good behavior. And so she tried to fix us together. And I went and met her one day. And things went along. I was very happy. I mean, she was a girl for me. I prayed about it. And God gave a green signal. Okay, this is the one. You know, we don't have the process of dating and courtship and all that back in India. It's more of arranged marriage. But for me, I could see and talk to the girl. And so I made a decision. And so we planned about a marriage in June, by the way. Okay, June is a wonderful month for marriage. So June, I don't know how many of you got married in June. My marriage was fixed on June 9th. And I'm talking about 21 years ago, June 9th of 1991. Because my future wife was from a city called Bombay, our marriage was fixed on that particular day. Everything, all the preparations were done. I am the only son of my parents. My would-be wife, she is the youngest daughter of her parents. So both sides, lot of planning, lot of things, fix the dates. And since I had come from Lucknow, we all arrived about 3 days before the wedding to Bombay. Now, you know what I'm getting at. Things are... So we reached about the 7th of June, and I'm talking about 1991. So by the time we reached... slowly it started raining, and we thought, okay, looks good. I mean, it's good to have some drizzle and get the dusty air away, and we were happy about it. But the next day, 8th, the day before the marriage, the rains were continuing. I mean, it was like nonstop. We were in a hotel in a place called Dadar, which is a low area of Bombay, and it was pouring and raining. And then throughout the day and throughout the night, it was pouring in rain. There was no stopping the rain. We don't know what happened. You know, we just didn't know. And on the 9th, the marriage was supposed to be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You won't even believe it. It rained so hard for 3 days continuously that by the time it was noon or close to the marriage, everything came to a stop in the city of Bombay. If you know, Bombay is connected with trains. Everybody, you need trains to reach anywhere. And if the trains have to stop and not go, there is something really wrong in that city. All the train services were stopped. There was no electricity. All the hotels were closed. And water started rising in that city of Dadar. And we were in a hotel, all ready to get married. And we were praying, believe me. I was praying very hard. I said, Lord, when I went to sleep on 8th night, I said, Lord, 9th morning, let me see the sun rising. Let me see the clouds away. And I rebuked Satan also a couple of times and said, you get away. Let my marriage be beautiful. But you know what? There was no stopping of the rain. It didn't stop at 12 o'clock. It didn't stop at 3. It didn't stop at 4 o'clock. It was raining. For some reason, you know, the girls' party, they took a bus and they reached the place for the marriage. And I don't know who took the decision. I cannot recollect. It all is in a haze. But we decided that let the marriage take place. Because people had come from all across the country and it was very hard to reschedule that marriage. So, you know, something that I was looking forward to, it was not the way we planned. In fact, as a bridegroom, I was wading through the waters, through the city of Dadar to reach my wedding place. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? I mean, in our culture, people ride on horses. I was like wading through the water. Maybe one of the first bridegrooms was wading through the water to reach the wedding place. The marriage took place with the help of some generator lights and everything. But, you know, I was devastated because I was really trusting God and I was on fire and I asked God, Lord, why? Why this had to happen? And, you know, this was in 60 years, this was the biggest flood that Bombay ever had. 60 years. It had to happen on the day that I was about to get married. Can you believe that? And people many of them walked for miles, I heard, to reach that. They walked on the rail tracks and they came. There were a few people who arrived, many of them could not. The marriage took place, it was all, I still remember, it is all a haze. But then, on that particular Sunday morning, I didn't want to go to church and I said, Lord, this is too much trouble. I have served you faithfully. Why should this trouble come to me? I was looking forward for this marriage. And as I was praying, the Holy Spirit asked me to open the word. You know what was the word that the Lord gave me? James chapter 1 and verse number 2. Count it joy when you face trials in your life. Don't be upset because there is a reasoning behind it. So tonight what I'm sharing with you is something that I've experienced in my personal life. By the way, let me tell you one thing. After 20 years, anybody you can ask who came to my marriage, they will never forget my marriage. Many marriages people have forgotten. I don't know how many marriages have taken place in all across the world, but nobody can ever forget my marriage. You know, that was the hardship that they had to go through. And that is the plus point of whatever I saw. But God has blessed our marriage and we have 3 beautiful daughters. And God is continuing to bless us every day. Amen. So, what I want to tell you is that when troubles come, why does trouble come in the life of a child of God? You know, there are 2 things that we need to understand about troubles. Number one, troubles are inevitable. They are bound to come. You will have troubles. You know, when you read verse number 2, it says, James is saying like this, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He doesn't say if you fall. That word has been very carefully chosen. When you fall, you are bound to have troubles. But when it comes, at that time, you should count it all joy. You know, troubles are a part of our spiritual journey. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12, if you see that, Peter is saying that don't be surprised. Don't be perplexed when troubles come in your life. Because you will have troubles in your life one time or the other. Don't be perplexed. So the number one thing I want you to think about in your life. Number one, trials are inevitable. Number two, The second thing that you can understand why troubles come to you, troubles have a purpose. There is a purpose why you go through troubles. When you understand that there is a purpose, then you will be able to appreciate the troubles that you're going through. When you read verses 3 and 4, it says that when you go through troubles, what happens? I will tell you the steps one by one. Number one, our faith gets tested. We get stretched in our faith, number one. Number two, when that happens, it produces endurance or patience in our life. You know, many times we are not patient at all. I was never a patient person. I mean, I was very impatient. I was the go-getter, you know. Till children came in our family and then I learned patience. They make you learn patience, you know. Raising up children, I believe they are for a reason to teach us patience. But in the similar way, you know, troubles, when they come, number one, it is to stretch our faith, to see how much our faith can stretch and we can trust, continue to trust in God when we go through that crucible of suffering. When you go through that trial, God is testing us and God wants to see how much of the faith that we believe in, it is truly going to happen in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. So it allows us to stretch spiritually so we can endure. You know what it produces in us, the end result? Endurance. You need endurance because this is a long journey. So when trouble comes, you stretch your faith like you stretch your muscles, and that gives you endurance to move forward. And verse number 4 says, at the end, the final result, what God wants is to bring you to a maturity. God wants to mature you. And that is the ultimate purpose of God for each and every one of you. God wants you to be mature as you move forward in your life. And this maturity has to reflect in a way that not only we go through troubles, but we are able to help others who go through trouble as well. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 3 to 7 is a wonderful passage where it explains in verse number 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 4, it says that the maturity that we receive, we should be able to comfort other people who are going through similar troubles. You know why God allows you to suffer? God allows you to go through troubles so that you become mature and then you are able to comfort other people who go through the same troubles as you have gone. Because you can share your experience and say, my brother, you know what? I also went through the same thing that you're going through now. But be strong and trust in the Lord. And God is going to help you. So so the two things that I spoke. Number one, troubles are inevitable. Write it down. There is going to come troubles in your life. And number two, they have a purpose. It is that God is desiring to stretch our faith. God wants to bring endurance in our life. And not only that, God wants us to mature. God doesn't want us to be children anymore. You know, small children cannot handle pain. When you are growing older, you can handle pain because that is the maturity. That is the endurance that God wants to give to each and every one of you. I'm talking on spiritual terms. If you are a babe in Christ, anything happens, you cannot face it. You want to run away. But when you are mature, you can face any trouble that comes in our life. Amen? How many of you believe that? Can you lift up your hands and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you this. How can we rise above our troubles? You are not supposed to be going under the water. But what God desires, we need to rise above our troubles and serve Him. I want to mention three key elements that should form our attitude when troubles come in our life. Three things. If you are writing down, I want you to note this. Number one, verse number 2, it says, James says, you should consider it all joy when you go through troubles. Consider. Think about that word, consider. When you look at some trouble, I want you to look, face at the trouble, and you should count it or consider it as all joy. Don't take it on a negative term. Because, you know, for a child of God, nothing happens without God's knowledge. How many of you believe that? Even our hairs on our head are counted. Even though how few they may be. But God has knows the number of hairs on your head. One of them falls down, it cannot without the knowledge of God. So how can God not be aware when you go through trouble? So number one, when you go through trouble, look at that trouble and you consider it as a source of joy, because you know who knows what you're going through. Number two, in verse number three, it says that know that troubles are meant to produce endurance. This is the second thing. That is the way we can rise above our troubles. Know that this trouble is meant to give us endurance in our life. Now, the example is like this. The heat in the furnace is not designed to make you crack, but to solidify and strengthen the character of God in your life. That is why you go through that crucible, that furnace of suffering. They are not meant to break you up. They are meant to solidify so that God can imprint His character in us. So that when we come out of it, when people look at us, they see God working in and through us. Amen. So know, the second thing is, number one I said consider. Number two, know this for a fact. It's no, don't doubt about it. Know that these troubles are meant to produce endurance for us. Number three, in verse number four, it says, let the endurance of patience have the perfect result. There is an end product that God wants you to be. And that is that you have to be matured. So what does it say? Let patience, let endurance, you need to allow it. Don't jump up and down. Don't start complaining. Don't start crying out and saying, this is not fair. You know, Lord, I've been serving you all these years. This is not fair how you let this happen. But you know, let it happen. Allow it. Let that endurance have its perfect end result, which is that we need to give in sometime. Amen. How? Number one, by humbling ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. What does it say? It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know, the hand of God will be mighty upon you when He allows trouble. But you know what you need to do? Instead of resisting, humble yourself. Let Him do His work in you. Humble yourself. That's the first thing. Number two, take your petitions and in prayer to God. If you go later into the book of James chapter 5 and verse number 13, it says, if there is any one of you suffering, you know what you need to do? What does it say? Let him complain. Let him murmur. What does it say? Let him pray. Let him pray. So two things. Number one, humble ourselves. Number two, we need to pray that God can do His work in and through us. Praise the Lord. You know, it is wonderful when you understand there is an end purpose why we go through suffering. I believe many of you are going through certain situations in your life, and you may be questioning God. Many times this is a natural thing. You ask God, why? Why me? I have been a faithful church believer. I've gone to every Wednesday services. I've sat and listened to God's word. I've said amen and praise the Lord for every sentence. Lord, why is this happening? When you ask this, you know what God says? Son, daughter, I have a great purpose for you. Amen. Amen. Can we give God a good hand? God has a great purpose, and God wants to use the best in us to make us strong that we can move forward. You know, there are two reasons why troubles overwhelm us. You know, there are two reasons. Look to verse number 5. Number one is the lack of wisdom. You know, there is a verse written here in verse number 5. Right after that, James is addressing and saying that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You know, when you don't have wisdom, that is the time that you start questioning God. So one of the reasons is a lack of wisdom. What is this wisdom that we are talking about? Many people have misused this verse thinking that this is the knowledge or the ability or the skill. But the wisdom that James is talking about is directly in relation to the previous verse, the trouble that he is talking about. So it says that if you are lacking wisdom to understand what God wants in your life, James says you need to ask God that he will give you the wisdom. Amen? What is the wisdom that James is talking about? It is directly related to our ability to handle trouble. The wisdom that James is talking here is how we are able to deal with the trouble that comes in our life. Many times we don't realize it. We are not wise enough to understand. You know, this is the ability to view our troubles from God's perspective. You understand what I'm saying? This, when troubles come, this wisdom that God will give us, God opens our eyes that we can understand that there is a greater purpose that God wants to do in our lives. That is a wisdom that we are talking about. That is a wisdom, and that is available for whom, you know, everybody who can lift up their voice by faith and ask God, Lord, I need the wisdom right now. I need the ability. Number two, not only the lack of wisdom, it says in verse number 6-8, lack of faith. Many times we all say that we are people of faith. We believe the Bible is true. But when it comes to a situation in our life, we lack faith. We don't even run to God. We don't even ask God. We are running to the emergency first. I'm not against emergency. My wife works in an emergency unit for pediatrics, by the way. So forgive me for saying that. But that is not the first place that we are looking for a solution. Praise the Lord. When we have troubles, we need to have faith in God and faith in the Word of God. You know, this is that faith that James is talking about that will allow us to abandon ourselves to God and His purposes through our troubles. So what James is telling is we need to ask God, do not doubt. Don't doubt. And he gives an example of a wave in verse number 6. James 1 verse number 6. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You know, the wind is reflecting the troubles that come in your life. The wave in the sea, it is tossed up and down. It is not still. Because you know what? It is affected by that wind. When we are not having the faith, that is how our situation is. We are like going up and down. We are not steady, and our reach is not on God's word, but we are looking to circumstances. But this is not what we should not doubt. We should ask God, because you know what? God is going to give us the wisdom when we ask to Him by faith. It says that don't be double-minded. You know, who is a double-minded person? A double-minded person is somebody who wants our will and also God's will. You know, you want both things. You know, you want to hold God's hands and also my desires. Okay, this is a double-minded person. When you go through trouble, you are like double-minded. Lord, I don't want the pain, but I want the reward. How is that possible? There's no gain without pain. You all know that, right? We need to go through that pain to understand that this is the plan of God. So we cannot be double-minded, but we need to ask God by faith. And He will give us the wisdom to understand the reasoning behind our trouble. Let me close here. I'm going to close here with verse number 12. And I hope that this will really get through to you. It says about James says, blessed is a man or the woman who endures temptation, for when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. What are our rewards? When we endure troubles, what is the reward that God is going to give us? There are two rewards that are promised here. Number one, there is an immediate reward. And number two, there is a future reward. What is the immediate reward? It says, blessed is the man. You know, the root word for the word blessed is happy. It means genuinely happy is the man or the woman who goes through trials. You know, when you go through trials, you know what happens? The joy of the Lord should become our strength. We should take the joy of the Lord in us, and that should become our strength. You know, a good example I can give you is in Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas were beaten up and they were thrown in the prison. We all know the story. I don't want to go into that. At the midnight hour, they were like bruised, and their bodies were sore with beatings. But it says at the midnight hour, they started singing to God. They started praising God in that midnight hour, in the prison cell. They started praising God because God had, they knew that there is a greater purpose. And so they were truly joyous because they knew that God has something great from their life. You know what happened? Because they had that attitude, what happened? We all know the story. The jailer and the family, they all came to the Lord, right? So when you are joyous during your trouble, be happy. Be genuinely joyous. Know that there is a purpose and God will accomplish great things through you. There is also a future reward and we all look for that. What is it? What is the future reward that God is going to give us? It's a crown of life. Crown of life. You know, I was kind of thinking about what is meant by a crown of life. This is not only a future reward, let me tell you. There is also a present reward. Why? The crown of life speaks of life in abundance. You know, Jesus spoke in John chapter 10, verse 10. It says that the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and in all its abundance. You know the abundant life that Jesus was talking about? That is the abundance when we go through troubles and we are joyous in the midst of the trouble and we can live life to the fullest. Because that is the plan of God for each one of you. So tonight, I want to encourage everybody tonight who is going through trouble in your life. Know that God wants to shape you to greater things in your life. God wants to raise you to the next level and He wants to use you greater for His glory. Amen. Can we all stand upon our feet? I want us to just close our eyes for a minute. If we are depressed these days and hurting and we have been wounded by people, by circumstances, and we think in our hearts, why is this happening, God? Tonight, I believe the Holy Spirit has an answer for you. God is working in you to shape you and to make you to a place where God wants to take you and use you for His glory. Hallelujah. God is working through the troubles that He's sending our way. Let us not be alarmed. Let us not be distressed. When troubles invade our lives, instead, let us submit ourselves into the hand of God, who is working all things for good. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. You know what this verse says? Let me read to you and I'm going to close here. It says that, blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. To those who love Him. Can you believe that? If we are saying we love Him, we are going to get the future crown in our lives, that God can make us into a place of glory and honor. God is going to reward us with the crown of life that He has promised to those who love Him. Can we close our eyes at this moment? I want you to start praying to God. And tonight I want to call upon those of you who are going through troubles and who feel that they need the people of God to stand and pray with them. I want to call you out. And it doesn't matter. We are all going through troubles one time or the other. If right now you're struggling with any trouble, by faith, can you step out in the front? You don't have to tell what the trouble is. But right now, if you're going through trouble, we want to pray with you tonight. I want to call upon the ushers and the leadership of this church. Let us stand arm in arm and join with our brothers and sisters. And let us ask God, Lord, don't take them out of the trouble, but give them the faith and help them to endure it, that they can be used greatly for the hand of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, I believe God wants to tell you, my child, you are going through troubles, but do not fear. I have said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is going to be with you every step of the way. He will never forsake you. His hand is upon you. He will carry you through your troubles. He will take you to a place where He can use you for His glory, that you can be a blessing to the other people. You can be a channel of blessing, a channel of comfort to the lives of many people around you. This is God's plan for you. This is God's plan for your life, let me tell you. As you are living your life here, when you go through troubles, you yield to Him and humble yourself before Him and pray to God. Lord, you show me. Show me what you are trying to teach me, Lord. And use me for your glory, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that Lord, let your will be done. Tonight I want to pray. I want to pray for everybody who is going through some trouble right now. Hallelujah. Let us, can you stretch your hands towards these people, in the dear brothers and sisters in the front? Can you pray that God will give them the peace and God will give them the courage, that as they go through the troubles in their life, Lord, that you give them the strength to endure it, Lord, that when they come out of it, they'll be able to bless other people, that you can use them for the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Trust in God. He has a great purpose for you. I tell you tonight, trust in Him. Trust in His purposes. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. He has got great plans for you. His purposes are greater than you can ever think about. Hallelujah. Yield yourself in the hand of God tonight and pray, Lord, here am I. I know that I'm going through problems, but Lord, use me through these problems. Lord, use me to a greater level, that you can use me for the glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for speaking to us, Lord, from your word. Lord, your word says, count it all joy when you go through troubles in your life. Lord, give us that faith. Lord, give us the wisdom. Let our understanding be opened, Lord, that we can understand all your purposes in our life. I pray, Lord, for everyone tonight in this room who is going through situations in their life. They don't have an answer, but you know, Lord, you have a greater purpose for them. I pray right now in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus, that you give them the strength, give them the wisdom, give them the perseverance, give them the endurance, Lord. Help them to be patient as they go through the troubles, knowing that something good is going to come out of it. We bless you tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord, because your hand is upon us. Thank you that your presence is with us. Thank you that you're leading us every step of the way. We bless your name, Lord. We want to thank you. Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. Amen. Continue to praise God. Continue to trust in God. Hallelujah. God is a good God. God is a good God. God has a great plan for you. God has a great plan for you, my brother. Believe and trust in God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.